The airwaves crackled with static, so he adjusted the squelch on the VHF radio. Then his scalp started to itch, so he lifted up the back of his hairpiece to scratch the offending spot. She was irritated by the gesture, but stood by silently. Finally, he picked up the microphone and sent out the first distress call.
"Mayday, mayday, mayday! This is Satin Lady," he went on, panic building in his voice, and then he repeated, "Mayday, mayday, mayday!"
Channel 16 went instantly quiet. It was an unnatural silence. The Coast Guard constantly monitored Channel 16 and was the first to respond.
"Satin Lady, Satin Lady," he heard the radio operator say. "This is the United States Coast Guard station on St. Thomas. Give us your position and the nature of your emergency. Over."
He did not reply.
"Satin Lady, this is the United States Coast Guard. I repeat, do you copy? Over."
He put the mic to his mouth again.
"Yes, Coast Guard. We've hit a reef that's put a big hole in us. We're sinking. We need help."
This time, he released the transmit button.
"Okay, Satin Lady, we copy. Give us your position. Over." "I don't know our current position. Water is filling the cabin."
His transmission was becoming fragmented. The anonymous radio operator heard the panic and tried to be reassuring.
"Satin Lady, stay calm now. Can you give us the time and place of your last known location and your speed since then?" "We left Fajardo yesterday. Our original heading was 315 degrees northwest. Last night we were 70 or 75 miles north of San Juan. We're in a 52-foot sport fisherman with a big tuna tower and a dark blue hull."
He kept depressing and then releasing the transmit button on the microphone, sometimes right in the middle of a sentence.
"That's good information, Satin Lady, but your voice keeps breaking up. We'll get help to you soon. Is anyone injured? Over." "I have a woman with me. She hurt herself when we bounced off that reef. She's bleeding badly from the head. The life raft is floating away. It must have come untied. I think we're going down. Help us." "Do you have an EPIRB on board? It'll help us get a radio fix on you."
The young Coast Guard radio operator pronounced the familiar acronym with a thick Spanish accent that made it barely intelligible.
"Do I have a what? I don't understand you." "An EPIRB. Do you have an emergency position indicator?" "It looks like a small handheld radio. Over." "I don't know where it is. We only chartered this boat a few days ago." "Okay then, Satin Lady. Don't stop to look for it now. First, give us a long count to 10. We're trying to locate your position." 1, 2, 3.
Then silence before it was completed.
"Hang in there, Satin Lady. We're on our way. Stand by the radio if you can."
The Coast Guard operator looked over at the watch officer, a petty officer second class, who had been monitoring the entire transmission, got his permission, and immediately notified Base San Juan. They initiated a general alert. There was no further communication from Satin Lady. Base San Juan immediately dispatched its closest patrol boat to the scene. The night was clear, the moon full, and visibility good, but nothing was sighted. The next morning, a sailboat cruising to St. Thomas located a patch of debris floating well outside the search area. They retrieved a partially inflated life raft with the name Satin Lady stenciled in blue letters, some blood-stained clothing, and a fouled mess of nylon fishing line still attached to a splintered fiberglass fishing rod. When they docked at Charlotte Amalie later that afternoon, they turned the articles over to the Coast Guard.